Hi, I'm Lucia.
And I'm Nell, and this is Totally Normal About That, a podcast where we explore various pieces of queer media and the things we love, hate, and love to hate about them. This week, we're feeling totally normal about the movie What We Do in the Shadows. Let's dive in.
Yes, so I am very excited to talk about this movie. I love this movie and have for a long time and was really excited to have a conversation about it. I know that the style of this movie and like the specific type of comedy is not necessarily your favorite thing, not like specifically negative about this movie, just in general. Do you want to share a little bit about your feelings regarding that before we kind of jump into the conversation?
The style of like show and movie is so hard for me to watch. It's like, I don't know. The confessional style hits me right in like my secondhand embarrassment so bad.
Because you don't watch really any of that, right? Like, not like
The not Office a ton or of it,
Parks
no.
and Record. Yeah.
No, I've like tried to watch some of that stuff and I always just have to like cringe my way out. But this, like, the movie wasn't too terrible for it. Like, a little bit. But it wasn't that bad. Maybe because it's like not a super long movie.
Yeah, it has to be making your watch through of the show though really challenging.
Well, we'll cover that next week and we'll have some things to say about it. Yes, I will have some things to say about that. You have had to listen to me. Like,
yeah,
about it. But yeah, but the movie wasn't too terrible for it. Like, a little bit, but like I said, it's not a super long movie. It's sort of quick. And there's like, I don't know, enough other, like, there's enough sort of actual stuff going on that yeah. It sort of distracts me from it.
It's a very unique and kind of weird movie. Definitely very, like, of its own kind up until that point, which honestly, like, I really, really love about it. Like you said, it does capture that confessional style, that, you know, has like become a thing over the last couple of decades with, in terms of like specifically like TV shows and like sitcoms and stuff. But it, I don't know. There's something, for me, what really works for it is that it is vampires. So it still does that like documentary confessional style drama, but like, one, obviously it's all like a joke, tongue in cheek kind of thing. Like, in that it's these mythical creatures, but also like the cringe works for me because I feel like when I watch human beings act cringy, like, I can still enjoy it. I do still enjoy those shows, but I'm like, oh God, like, come on.
Yeah.
But like when they do it, I'm just like, well, yeah, they're vampires. Like, they're just,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah. So of course this movie was written and directed and stars, Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement, along with sort of an ensemble cast of other people who both knew and did not know what was going on. which we'll talk a little bit more about, but yeah, I do think that like the vampires of it all, like, you expect them to be kind of weird because they're old, they've been around for a long time, and so that helps a little bit, although the show is still really rough for me.
Yeah, so the movie is actually, the idea of it, like, originated in a short film that Taika and Jemaine did back in 2005. And then they later went on to kind of expand the idea and make it into a movie, which this movie actually came out in 2014. And according to my understanding, it was based on like 125 hours of footage that they narrowed down into this fairly compact movie.
Yeah, it's so, like 85 minutes long, this movie.
Yeah, I really want to see some of that other footage, to be honest. I'm like, what other things did you manage to come up with that just, like, got scrapped in favor of this? Because I find them really funny, so I'm like, I want to see some of the other stuff that they did. There are definitely, like, some elements of this movie that I'm like, oh, that's pretty gay of you guys to do, but it's not, like, an inherently queer movie necessarily. Obviously it's vampires and there's like the queer element of that, but part of the reason, as we noted, we're talking about this movie is because we're going to be talking about the show next week, and to best understand what's going on in the show, having watched the movie, like, helps it make the most sense.
Yeah, I think I had like watched the first couple episodes of the show before we watched the movie, and when I like went back and rewatched those episodes, and I was like, oh, okay, like, mm-hmm. I get all, and they're like, some of the characters from the movie will show up in the show, so
right.
But yeah, so I do think that like watching the movie was a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And they definitely expand on some of the ideas from the movie more in that, so I guess it like makes up for the fact that we didn't get obviously a lot of the content. Like, it makes me wonder if some of the stuff that they shot for this movie ultimately got recycled into ideas that they used in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that did happen. But I think that what they ultimately gave us is still really interesting. One of the things I love is first of all, it's just like you have four very different vampires who are living in this like roommate style situation, in like a flat in New Zealand. And we're just like, yeah, like we're just here hanging out, like whatever. And they have like such distinct personalities. It's really right. fun to kind of see how they play into that.
Right. And it helps, like, they're all from different times as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're different, like, ages in that sense. And they are also, like, from in different, have different life experiences.
Yes. So each of the vampires in the movie are actually loosely based on like different characteristics of existing vampires in other pieces of media. And I'm curious if you picked up on that and if there's any of them that you feel like stick out to you or remind you of anybody.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe not so much. But maybe I'm also just, like, totally blanking. Like, obviously, like, Peter is very much, like, sort of cartoon vampire-y, almost. But also,
mm-hmm.
like, the original vampire from, like, Nosferatu. Like, the yes. original Nosferatu. Count Orlok. Which is a movie I have seen. So, like, Peter has yes. that kind of vibes. But the others, like, I guess, like, I don't know.
So, what are you thinking? You are right. They did base Peter on Count Orlok, which I think makes a lot of sense. And, like, even just the way that he looks and, like, the, I don't know what kind of word that you'd use to describe, like, feral, I guess, is probably the closest word. Like, he's just I don't know, like, less human than the rest of them in a way. Yeah. But he's also the oldest, like, mm-hmm. of the vampires. And he is the one who's actually, like, a count or whatever. The one that was most obvious to me when I watched the movie the first time was Vladislav, who is the one that Jemaine Clement plays. He's based loosely on, like, the Vlad the Impaler.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, the legend of it. Because he's, like, Vladislav the Poker.
And, like, right, yeah.
And talks about, like, putting people on, like, sticks and stuff, and, like, it's a whole thing. So, like, yeah, that one obviously made a lot of sense to me. Apparently, the vampire that Taika Waititi plays.
Viago.
I don't know why I'm, like, blanking so hard on these here. But the vampire Viago that Taika plays is meant to be based more on, like, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Okay.
Which, like, I don't see as much, but I do a little bit, just, like, with a bit of, like, the dandy behavior, and also just, like, there's a few moments where he's just, like, doing these certain things where he's, like, kind of creeping and whatever, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like, that makes mm-hmm. more sense. I didn't really get Deacon, but I've never seen Lost Boys. It's, like, on the list of things to get to, and I guess he's based more on that, like, vibe from Lost Boys, that, like, rebel, bad boy, kind of young, whatever.
Young from the 19th century, yes.
I mean, younger, whatever. Okay. And then I guess Nick is supposed to be more of, like, a modern vampire, like Twilight vampire-esque.
Mm-hmm. Super annoying. Everybody hates Nick in this movie.
Yeah. And he's just like, I'm a vampire. Yeah, but I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire.
Well, because none of them intend, he's supposed to be their food.
Right, like, which is hilarious. I think it's funny that Peter turns him, like, he's like, oh, I ate him, and then I made him a vampire. It's okay. I'm like, right. Peter, are you just sad? Do you just need friends?
I mean, yeah. Kinda.
So, yeah, I think it's very interesting. Which I guess, I mean, if Nick is the Cullen-esque vampire, does that make Stu, like, the Bella Swan of the group? Like, like, very awkward, like, doesn't talk a lot, just, like, but is, like, really interested in them, and, like, ultimately they're obsessed with him.
Yeah, like, a little bit unclear how he got here.
His cheeks are so red, he smells amazing, but we're not gonna eat him because he's our friend.
I know, they, like, basically put up with Nick because they like Stu so
much. Right, like, Nick is irritating, but Stu's amazing.
They like, at one point, they, like, kick Nick out, and they're like, but Stu, you can keep coming over and hang out.
Right. Deacon, who's, like, an asshole to Nick and, like, hates him so much, is sitting there, like, knitting Stu a scarf. He's just like, Stu's great.
I mean, to be fair, it is Nick's fault that Peter dies.
Very true. Yeah, so the plot of this movie is super interesting because, again, like, it's supposed to be, like, documentary style, and one of the things I kind of love about it is, like, with a documentary, like, you kind of have a general idea of what you're getting into when you go watch it, but there's not always, like, a clear plot or, like, thing that they're going to be landing on. Some of them more than others when they're, like, docudramas or whatever, but, like, sometimes you're just watching a documentary and you're like, I'm just here to learn about stuff. Like, you're just gonna be telling me things. And this kind of falls a little bit somewhere between the two, because, like, when they start out, it just seems like you're just learning about vampires in the community and, like, vampire life. And, like, ultimately it does become more than that, and there's, like, a whole story that unfolds, but, like, it means that the movie, it manages to be, like, quick and it moves at like a really good pace, but also it kind of meanders a little bit in the beginning. Like you're just kind of watching them do random shit without a whole lot of like reason for doing it, other than that you're just like observing them.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because they basically just don't really give you any context as to what the documentary crew is all about. Like they're kind of just there.
Right.
Like you don't know how they found out about vampires, who decided there was going to be a documentary filmed, anything right. about any of this crew. Every once in a while one of the crew members will like get killed.
I do really love that the way they set it up is like, even in the beginning when like the movie is opening and everything and you're getting all the credits and stuff, like it is set up like with the New Zealand documentary, whatever, like all credited at the beginning and everything. Like they treat it as though it is a real documentary. Like it's not kind of a tongue in cheek thing. Like obviously mm-hmm. it's fake, but like the movie itself is like, this is a real thing that we're showing mm-hmm. you. And they never imply in any way that like this isn't a documentary or that this isn't actually right. what's happening.
Right. They actually, and like, it's so funny because so often in this kind of stuff, like there's the crew, but like they don't reference the fact that there's people filming them or whatever. And mm-hmm. so in this, they like do, and other people are like, mm-hmm. wait, who are these dudes following you around with cameras? And
right.
They're the filming. They're the crew.
Right. And they talk about how, like, they gave the crew protections and, like, permission mm-hmm. to film them and everything and, like, promised not to eat them and whatever. And you're like, oh, okay, like, glad we've noted that here, I guess.
And then, like, they get, you know, called out at the unholy masquerade. They're like, excuse me, who are all of these living people who are here? And it's like, well, yeah,
did you not know we are doing a documentary? And everyone's like, who gave you permission to do that? Like,
they're like, we did.
Yeah, we just decided to let them.
It's also really funny because we know that vampires don't show up in mirrors in this mm-hmm. because they talk about like how getting ready to go out takes forever because they can't look at themselves in the mirror. And so like, do they show up on film?
I guess that's the thing, and that's something that we kind of learned because, you know, obviously they do show up on film, but it's hilarious because, like, it seems like the documentary crew is like, yeah, we can see you on film, but they never ask to see themselves mm-hmm. until Stu shows up and is like, you could just take a picture of yourself on your camera, like, on your phone, and suddenly they're just like, I can see my own face, like... What did you think was going to happen with this documentary?
I know. The way that they're like, oh, Stu has showed us so much important, like, everything.
So, the movie opens and, you know, it's on Viago basically, like, waking up and, like, walking them through their daily routine and everything. I'm going to go around. I'm going to check and make sure the sun is down. I'm going to wake everyone up. And you're like... kind of getting to know the different people living in the house. And then he's like, we have to have a house meeting about the chore chart. Deacon, you haven't done the dishes in 5 years. And there's a pile of bloody dishes over here. Like, they must be done.
But also, why do they have dishes? Why are they using dishes?
Right, why are you using dishes at all? It makes no sense. Apparently they're using the dishes on their victims to do the spaghetti is worms trick. Like, just like pour it into a bowl and be like, and now it's worms. Oh, you're eating worms. So there's clearly like some interesting dynamics in the house because would you consider them to be friends? Like
the vampires?
Yes, like the four of them living in the house. Like, I mean, would you consider them to be like friends?
Not traditional friends, maybe, but They've lived together for some amount of time.
Yeah, they I watch them and sometimes I'm like, oh, like, the you know, I don't know that they're close necessarily, but like clearly they have these relationships and like get along and stuff mm-hmm. enough at least to like live in the same house, but they're
I mean they're kind of like friends of convenience, right? Like there's nobody like they hang out together because there's nobody else around who's like them, and so like they just have to sort of hang out and like they live together or whatever, and so like they're like, you know, when your freshman year of college where you hang out with your roommate before you meet real friends. Because
well, but that's the thing, there clearly are other vampires in Wellington and like they're going to events and stuff with other vampires and like they go out to a bar or whatever and like you meet other vampires on the way, and so I'm just like, are y'all just not, do you just not have good social skills? Like it's just
I mean I don't think they do, but
it's a very I think it's an interesting thing where if you consider it, like each of them just seems to be very like self-centered, like they're just so focused on themselves that I just don't think that they're good at like connecting with anybody else, because they're just like, oh yes, me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's resulted in them just being like, yeah, well, we're the ones that are just here together. I
guess, questions like about how they became roommates, really.
It makes me wonder if it has to do with like just their relationships with death in general, because that's something that's explored a little bit in this movie, is like how the vampires process death, and mm-hmm. like obviously they lose Peter, which is like devastating in the moment, but they seem to get over that pretty quickly. And then like when they believe that Stu has died, Deacon tries to comfort Nick, and his comfort is like not comfort. It's just basically everyone in your life is gonna die, and they're gonna die in these horrible ways, and you're just gonna have to get over it because you're just doomed to be alone. And I'm like, I wonder if that's part of why they just don't really have a lot of other meaningful relationships in their mm-hmm. life, is just because they're like have no interest in bothering, because they're like, well, you're just gonna die eventually,
right? Yeah. And like obviously Viago's got his like former love Catherine, who's now like 96 or whatever, just like a whole thing.
I'm so obsessed with it. Like, he's just not over it, and it's like going and like creeping outside this old woman's house, and I'm like, sir, you're going to put her in the grave. Like, she's gonna look out the window and see you and drop dead. Like,
right. Right. Yeah. What? They don't seem to really understand that sort of thing.
They don't seem to understand the frailty of human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they don't. Like, and again, like, I think part of the self-centeredness is really showed in Viago's whole deal when he contacts his former servant and is, like, complaining. Like, you put the wrong, like, decades later, bothers to video call him and is like, you put the wrong postage on my coffin. And the man is like, sir, you promised to make me into a vampire. And he's like, oh, and I gotta go, bye.
Right. I mean, that's, like, a running thing where, like, the familiars never become vampires.
No. Like, and I think I'm, like, yeah, you could argue that it's because, like, to them, like, time is just not that meaningful or whatever, mm-hmm. because they're immortal, but, like, obviously it's not actually that, it's just that they don't want to, like, give up the familiar, and so they're, like, holding on with the promise of that, because, like, Like, look at Jackie. They're just like, yeah, well, yeah, okay, maybe 5, maybe 10 more years, whatever, it's fine.
Right. Like, they don't have any concept of time and how it passes and, like, what that does to humans. And also, like, I don't know, they all just seem so annoyed at the thought of there being more vampires.
Right, they're like, excuse me, this is for us.
Like, all the time, they're like, because, like, Nick becomes a vampire, and they're like, oh, no, this guy is a vampire right, now.
Nick.
And at no point do they even contemplate making Stu a vampire?
No.
Even though they love Stu.
Right, they're like, he's amazing. Like,
they legitimately love Stu, and they like having him around, so, like, if they want to make anybody a vampire.
I think that they asked him, or, like, Nick asked him, and he said he didn't want to. And so they were just like, right. No, we're just going to let you be our bestie. I do think it's funny that, like, so Jackie is Deacon's familiar. And she, like, wants to become a vampire. She resents being a familiar, but, like, she's doing it because she believes he's going to make her a vampire. And then Nick is turned by Peter, and so Deacon is using that as an excuse to not turn her, because he's like, well, we have to wait now, like, Nick jumped your place in line. Well, Jackie's the reason that Nick became a vampire, because she brought him to dinner to be eaten, because she's like, he's my ex-boyfriend from, like,
right. She high brings school. Her ex-boyfriend and her, like, childhood nemesis, and is like, they're virgins, right. And they're like, we're definitely not virgins, and she's like, well, you were in high school. You're like, you have children now, Jackie, clearly.
She's like, my bad. But her whole thing is, she's like, I can't sacrifice people that I actually like. So, like, I don't like them. So I'm just gonna, you know, let them be dinner. So Nick gets turned into a vampire. And then, despite the fact that she, like, doesn't like him and was gonna sacrifice him to be eaten, he still turns her into a vampire? Like.
Right.
Which I think says a lot about Nick and the fact that he's just like, yeah, because being a vampire is cool. Like,
right. Everybody well, it should also get to seems, do it. I don't know, maybe a little bit like there's a, well, these guys kicked me out, so I'm going to steal their familiar.
Right.
They kicked me out, and they kept my stew.
Right. Kept my friend, so I'm taking their familiar. Like, it's fine. Which, I don't know, I just found that whole dynamic hilarious, that she's like, I mean, I would let you die, and he's like, well, I will use you to, like, fuck over these people that are mean to me, like.
Right.
Also, like, I want to know so much about Jackie's husband and her family that she's just like,
yeah, I have some questions.
I want to be a vampire, like, fuck them.
Yeah, I have some questions. Also, like, I don't know, she spends all of her time, like, cleaning up blood.
Right, and it's just so unbothered. She's like, takes the shirt to the dry cleaner. She's like, my husband, he's a hemophiliac. Like, that's why there's blood all over these clothes. Which, like, I'll never get over how bad these vampires are at actually eating their food. Like, they're so messy. Oh my god,
well, because that's the whole point of, like, the meeting that they have, the house meeting at the beginning, is that, like, they're making a huge mess with. And Viago's really right. upset about, like, the furniture and stuff.
And you, like, see him put newspaper down, and then he still makes a huge mess every time he tries to eat. He, like, hits the artery or whatever, and it's, like, it's shooting all over him in his face. And I'm just like, sir, how long have you been a vampire that you cannot manage to, like,
he's 379
everywhere. Like, that's your food, and it's just going to waste, like, everywhere. It's just a mess.
I know, like, you'd think they'd have figured this out at some point.
I'm like, I've seen toddlers that eat more neatly than you do. Like, this is embarrassing.
I know, yeah, like, come on, how do you still hit the karate?
Like, just aim somewhere else, just bite them somewhere else.
Right. Like, you cannot.
Also, his victim, I feel so bad for her. He's like asking her, like, what are your plans or whatever? She's like, oh, when I'm gonna travel and do these things, and he's like, okay. Just kills her.
Also, like, okay, newspaper is great for putting down when you're gonna be, like, painting or using glitter or something like that, but it's paper. So, like, right, liquid like the blood like is just that. Gonna
seep through.
God, get it's some just... tarps.
Right, like...
Some drop cloths, like, come on, it's not that expensive, right. Like, cover, you could invest.
Cover your couch in plastic, like an old lady.
Yes, it'd be so much more convenient than newspaper, which would just soak it up. But, soak through.
It just kills me so bad that I just watch it and I'm like, oh, this is awkward and embarrassing. I love afterwards when they're interviewing him and he's talking about the woman he brought over to kill and whatever. And like, he's just like, I think she had a nice time. It's not a date. Like, she's dead.
It's not a date.
Who cares? It's like, I want to make it good for them. This is the last moment of their life. And I'm like, how about you just
they
make
won't
it
know.
Like,
yeah.
Like, ugh, he's so embarrassing. Like, he's just so embarrassing.
They're so dumb.
So, as we said, Jackie brings her childhood nemesis and her ex-boyfriend over, and Nick ends up getting turned into a vampire by Peter, and now he's, like, hanging out and everything. We see a little bit of, like, his transition into a vampire, which honestly looks awful, and takes a while. Like, it's not like it's a quick thing. Like, mm-hmm. It kind of was an Interview of the Vampire. It's, like, a process that takes place over, like, a couple of weeks or whatever, mm-hmm. Which seems like it would be terrible. Like, it's like the flu, but, like, on crack.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds bad.
Right, like, I'm like, I just wouldn't want to do that.
No, I would not. That sounds not... No. I don't like the flu.
But, like, once he's a vampire, he's, like, really into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's like, I'm cool, I'm great, I'm gonna, like, hang out with these guys. And even though they turned him, he's like, yeah, they're my best friends now. And, like, we're gonna go out and, like, be cool and have a great time.
Well, not even just that they turned him, that their plan in the first place had been to eat him.
Right, he's just accidentally like, he's got just over turned it.
Into a vampire. But he gets them into clubs, so, like... They're kind of into
Deacon
that.
Deacon obviously resents. He's just like, no, like, he, I was Deacon, cool, yeah. And now you're trying to replace me. Like, he's so mad.
I was the cool young guy.
He's so mad because Nick wears, like, a jacket that's similar to his, and he's like, that is my jacket. You're, like, copying my look. Oh, my friend. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. They also, like, have a welfare check called on them?
Yes. So, Nick is, like, running around telling everyone he's a vampire. Just, like, everybody. Even, like, the poor little guy at the, like, the store clerk who, like, makes a joke about it. And he, like, scares the shit out of him because he's just being a brat. Like, we don't joke about that. Like, it's serious, my guy. But he tells a random dude at a club he's a vampire. And the guy's like, oh, hey, I'm a vampire hunter. And he's like, haha, no, you're not.
And then he breaks in and kills Peter.
Right. He definitely is a vampire hunter and definitely did break into their house and kill Peter. So, of course, the neighbors, like, hear this ungodly sound and are just like, that's concerning.
Yeah, something weird is happening here.
Yeah, and call the police. And so the police show up and they're like, we gotta hypnotize them and hope that they don't notice what's going on. And that whole scene is just hilarious.
Right. Yeah, because they get hypnotized so that they don't notice anything weird going on, but there's all this weird stuff, like, happening in the background.
So, the people who play the police in this, like, the scenes from that were actually ultimately developed into a spinoff called mm-hmm. Wellington Paranormal, which ran for, like, 4 seasons. So it centers around them as police having to deal with the different, like, paranormal creatures of Wellington. I have not yet watched it, although I do intend definitely to watch it at some point. But, like, I think it would be just hilarious to see these police officers who are, like, so oblivious running around mm-hmm. trying to deal with, like, the paranormal things, like, in Wellington. Because we see them again later, obviously, dealing with the werewolves.
Werewolf situation.
Which, like, we haven't even really brought up yet, but, like, they obviously play, like, an important role in this movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're kind of recurring as well. But, so the police in this scene are, like, walking through the house, like, trying to figure out kind of what's going on and identifying, like, fire hazards and whatever, and talking about how this dead vampire hunter needs a blanket.
Like, right.
But ultimately they leave, and so they, you know, the vampires have to deal with Nick and the thing that he's done, and, you know, resulting in the death of Peter, and so they banish him, and they make him do the, like, procession of shame.
Yeah, he's got a walk of shame out.
Which is just, like, you'd think it'd be more serious, but it's, no, it's just him in the yard, and them just circling him going, shame, 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 and, like, pointing their fingers. They act like this is the most extreme thing that they could have come up with.
I know. And then they're like, but Stu can come visit anytime he wants.
Like, okay. So Nick leaves, and, like, a few months pass, and, you know, again, they did earlier have, like, a run-in with the werewolves, so, like, we know they're around. Mm-hmm. Which, like, it's just, again, like, a very hilarious thing to kind of experience in this movie, is just, like, these random werewolves that just, like, pop up out of nowhere. And it's just, like, a group of, like, random dudes who are just, like, mm-hmm. out in the middle of the night, like, trying to be cool and, like, not get turned under the moon or whatever. They're very, like, bro-y frat dudes, if they were, like, bro-y frat dudes in their 30s who probably have children at home. Like,
well, they're bro-y frat dudes who never got over, they're the kind of people who say that, like, college was the best years of their life, and they go back right. for tailgating and for homecoming and, like, get in trouble for public indecency or whatever during those events, which I'm very familiar with.
Which, like, to be fair,
because that happens in my town all the time.
Which, like, to be fair, they're publicly indecent a lot for, like, a variety of reasons. So.
Everything about this whole situation is publicly indecent.
And, like, notably, the leader of the pack is Rhys Darby. Or who's played by Rhys Darby. I believe his name is Anton.
Yes.
And he's one of my favorite characters in this whole movie. He's just so silly and, like, very much like a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in this role that he plays, and is just, like, running around, like, trying to make sure that they're, like, all on their best behavior and, like, not ruining their clothes and, like, using common sense for their transitions and everything, and, like, saying things like werewolves, not swearwolves, and, like, getting on them for their language. I'm like, I don't know, like, it's just very endearing mm-hmm. that, like, this is the guy.
He's got a very, like, we live in a society energy.
Yes! Exactly.
About him, where he's just, you know, he's like, listen, we might be werewolves, but we're not monsters.
Right.
Everybody, like, totally go wash your hands.
I totally get why the, you know, the ultimate show that followed What We Do in the Shadows focuses primarily on the vampires, because there's something inherently more interesting about that, of, like, that, you know, type of monstrosity and, like, the kind of selfish, unhinged thing they have going on. But, like, there's a part of me that's like, I really would enjoy also seeing something about the werewolves just, like, trying to, like, function and, like, be normal dude bro dads who are, like, taking their kids to the park, and it's just like, okay, honey, like, as you know, like, it's getting to be that time of the month. Like, sorry if I'm a little, like, grumpy. You have yours and I have mine. Like, it is what it is. It's just something we all have to live with.
They have, like, proposed a sequel to this film that focuses on the werewolves.
I wish they would give it to us. Like, I want to see it. I think it'd be hilarious.
Werewolves.
Oh my god.
And they talk, they're like, this is the film, Taika has basically said, like, this is the film we keep pretending that we're gonna make. That we, like, just keep saying we're gonna do this, but, like, we're doing it in the, like, the dad saying, I'll be home for Christmas kind of thing, where he's like, I would love to do this, I'd love to be there, but simply can't, or whatever. And so they just, like, keep joking about it, and I guess in 2022 he said, like, we haven't written it, but we still want to do it, but, you know, who knows. So it's like their mythical sequel. That,
I mean, to be fair, like, they came up with the idea for What We Do in the Shadows in 2005, and then they filmed the movie in 2014, so I mean, like, that was, like, a decent amount of time that passed. And there's a part of me that's just like, you say you haven't written it, but it doesn't feel like What We Do in the Shadows was really written before you filmed it. So, like,
no, it seems like they basically just filmed a bunch of stuff and then were like, we can make a movie out of this stuff.
Right. And I'm like, I know that you guys are actually professionals with, like, you know, long CVs and, like, contracts with, like, Disney and shit, but, like, you could just show up with some cameras and make this happen for me. I would really appreciate it. So.
Yeah, so, like, they did film just an ungodly amount of footage for this, which makes it so funny because Stu, who plays Stu, didn't know he was gonna be such a big part of the movie.
Right, and, like, when you watch the movie, you think, like, how could you not know you're gonna be so central to the movie? Like, you do so much. But, like, when you realize that the movie is less than an hour and a half long and they filmed 125 hours of footage, you're like, oh, I can see where he showed up for, like, a couple days of shooting out of, like, a couple months of shooting and was just like, yeah, like, I just kind of did some stuff there. And then, like, they took everything he filmed and made it the movie and were just like, yes, and here's our guy. Like,
yeah. Right, like, because there's so many scenes that he's in where he, like, doesn't do a lot. He's just standing there while they're, like, talking around him or to him or about him. So.
Right. I love it, too, because he's actually an IT guy in real life who basically just, like, came in and, like, used that experience to play IT guy Stu, which is essentially who he is in real life. Apparently at one point Taika straight up emailed him and was like, just do what you normally do, like, don't act, don't, like, take lessons or do anything, like, what you're doing now is perfect. And it's hilarious to watch because, like, one of my favorite parts is when he's, like, talking and he's like, hi, my name is Stu, and they're like, what? Hi, my name is Stu. What? And he's like, get the microphone. And I'm like, that's such, like, an awkward, introverted IT guy, like,
I know,
giving a presentation.
I love him, like, so much.
Like, it's just, like, his, like, it's perfect. His role is perfect. His delivery is perfect. And I'm like, of course it is, because he's not really acting. He's just
He's just there.
He's just there doing stuff. And everyone else around him is acting, and he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, these weird vampires are doing stuff, and I'm,
I know,
yes, I am teaching Vladislav the Poker how to poke people on Facebook.
Which of course now feels like so outdated because, like, nobody's poking anybody on Facebook anymore, but that also makes it poke so, like, so completely perfect.
Right. Cool, because that's the thing, too. Like, that is Vladislav's whole thing. See, like, everything he does is outdated. So he's just like...
Yeah.
And he's so excited. Oh, you can poke them? Oh, my God.
And they're so sad when they think that Stu gets killed by the werewolves. They, like...
Right!
Are legitimately mourning.
Deacon, like, throws the half-finished scarf into the water. It's just like, he would love this scarf.
And the thing is, Stu would have, it's so funny because, like, Stu clearly knows they're vampires.
He just doesn't. He's just kind of like, whatever.
care. Like, they take him to the Unholy Masquerade, and he's just like, right. Hi, I'm Stu.
Right, the zombie who's like, I can ask you, are you pre-deceased? Like, and he's just like, oh, this is awkward, I gotta go.
Are you pre-deceased? Yes.
It's so good, though.
He is pre-deceased. Also,
speaking of the Unholy Masquerade, we cannot in this conversation without talking about the relationship between Vladislav and Pauline.
Oh my AKA god.
The Beast.
I know. Like, the way they build that up is, like, he's had this, like, centuries-long feud with the Beast. It's this whole big thing, and then you find out that it's just his ex-girlfriend.
Named Pauline. Her name is Pauline. Like, it's just a perfectly normal-looking woman with a perfectly normal name. And he's just like, she's the Beast. And he has, like, all these intense art and, like, drawings of her looking like some, like, ungodly creature or whatever. It's just a lady.
Right. And she brings her new boyfriend, Julian, and then Stu impales him.
Yeah.
Go Stu.
As Julian is, like, beating Vladislav up, and Vladislav is just like, you and me both, we both defeated him together.
Yep. Yeah, the whole, like, Beast thing where they're like, oh my god, she's here, I can't believe she's here, the Beast.
It's so funny, too, because when you, like, as you watch the movie from the beginning, you get this impression that Vladislav is, like, a horn dog. Like, mm-hmm. At one point, Viago opens the door to his bedroom, and he's, like, in the middle of some kind of bat orgy, like.
Right.
But he's, like, really hung up on this woman. Like. I don't know. Like, I just. The whole thing is just, because they get back together, so then,
at the end.
Yeah, I'm, like, I'm pretty sure they do. Or they have, like, some kind of. Again, they have this, like, very intense love-hate relationship thing going on, and I'm like, yeah,
they've got the, like, the longest and most complicated on-off relationship.
Yeah, like, oh my goodness. Which is, you know, in comparison to the relationship that Viago obviously has with Catherine, where he's basically like, oh yes, this is my long-lost love, and he eventually finds her and turns her into a vampire so that she'll be with him forever. Despite the fact that she's, like, 92.
And she's 96!
96, I'm she's sorry, 96. And, like, I'm, you know, old and frail and, like, but she's excited to be with him, and he's, like, very horny about it. Like, he's just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm getting it for eternity with this woman.
I know, he's so happy about it. Because he came to New Zealand in the 1940s to try to find her, and then she had, like, gotten married.
What do you think about the scene where he learns how to use the copier, blows up the picture from her locket, oh my God. And is, like, jerking off to it and coughing?
I think I blocked that out of my mind as a thing that
Well, it definitely did. And I mean, maybe this says something about me, but, like, the whole time that I was watching that scene, all I could think was, like, I don't feel like you'd have very much room in that coffin. Like, how big did she get this coffin made? Also, it's dark! Like, it's, you shut the lid, it's dark in there. Like, how do you see that picture? Is it just that you know that it's there? Are you, like, smooching the paper, pretending it's her? Like,
maybe he's, like, holding it over his dick? I don't know.
I mean, I thought he taped it up, though, but, like...
he might have. Can they see in the dark?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't take that much room to jerk off, does it?
I mean, it must not. It got me because, like, the jerking off isn't what got me. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't take that much room, but, like, there's a thumping noise, and so I'm like, there's enough space where your hand is, like, hitting the top of the coffin, and, like, there's an echo sound.
Ugh.
Like, so there's some room in there.
It's so unpleasant for everyone. So are they both gonna share a coffin now?
I don't know. Like,
I don't... Also, like, does human frailty carry over into vampires?
I honestly, I'm not sure, because, like, Jackie's whole thing with getting turned is that she wanted to get turned at, like, 30, because she's like, I am my ideal self, like, I don't want to get any older than this, I want to be this. And I was very confused, because she looks like she has children who are, like, older.
Right.
And I was like, are you sure you're only 30?
Yeah. I mean, you know, she could have had kids quite young.
Very true. Like, she could have had them quite young. But I was like, maybe I'm misremembering this, but, like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, your children look, like, older. So I'm like, maybe she had her kids when she was, like, a teen, and she's like, yeah, like, I've done this long enough.
Because I feel like her kids were at least, you know, 8 or 10 in that.
Exactly.
Maybe even I was older. Like... But, like, so she could have had them, like, quite young, and... I mean, maybe that's why she's like, I have never actually just gotten to live my life because I've been raising children and my husband this whole time. And so now I need to.
Right. She's like, when I'm not cleaning up, like, kid vomit, I'm cleaning up, like, random people's blood, like, getting rid of body parts. So let this be about me. Right. I want to know if her husband, like, knows what she does. Like, if he has any idea of what she's out here doing.
Right, like, does she just say that she's, like, a housekeeper or something?
Right, like...
A personal assistant?
And because, and like, at one point, I think, like, Deacon shows up to her house or something, and she's like, go away, kids, like, you have to, like, get out of here, like, don't, you can't see this man or whatever. And so I'm like, she at least does seem, like, very protective of her family, that she's like, no. But I'm like, once you become a vampire, what does that mean for your kids? Like...
Right.
Who knows? I'm sure it's fine.
Look, this movie was never supposed to make sense.
No, it's definitely not.
And who knows, maybe some of the other hundreds of hours of footage they filmed would have answered some of those questions.
As I said, we get a little bit of other vampires in this movie, but we don't get, like, a ton of them. One of the people we do see who plays another vampire is, Madeline Samey, who plays, Miranda, who is, like, a, you know, just another vampire, like, randomly drinking a dude as they're, like, walking through the town.
Yes.
There's also some children vampires who are, like, played by a set of, like, young twins. Who are talking about how, like, they're gonna go meet up with a random pedophile to, like, right. kill him, and I was like, oh, that's okay.
You know what? I'm not bothered by it. Go ahead and take out the pedophiles.
No, absolutely do. I was just like, that would be, like, that would have to be your clientele.
I mean, I guess you could go for, like,
victims or whatever.
Babysitters.
Yeah, but, like, who really wants to murder the babysitters? Well, right. Or, like... It was, like, really funny to me because the other vampires have, like, no familiarity with the internet. And I'm like, well, these two would have to be pretty tech savvy. They're, like, imagine them, like, on, like, Yahoo chat rooms and whatever. Like,
right.
Finding random people and be like, sure, like, we'd love to meet up with you. And they're, like, these... like, gross catfish men who are like, ah, yes, I'm gonna, like, meet these children and don't right. know they're actually be gonna become dinner.
Yeah. That's, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, why virgins?
I think Vladislav explained it. He said, if you're gonna eat a sandwich, you just feel better knowing nobody fucked it. And I'm like, yeah, that is... I don't think that's how
I mean
work.
Yeah, sex. Like, true, but
like it's not like people's jizz and blood are like mixing in their body to like
no,
like you
no,
know
not
it is different, no. But and like obviously they don't have to drink virgin blood. They can drink whatever. They just like act like it's some kind of special delicacy or something.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. It feels like it would be more akin to, like, no, I don't know. I was gonna say, like, leftovers, but, like, that's not really a thing either. It's not like someone else drank from them first, and now they're...
I feel like it's, what is it called? Veal. I feel like it's more akin to, like veal. Mm. Like, if you're like, oh, I could have a hamburger, or oh, I could have veal, like...
Yeah.
Because veal is, like, the baby cow.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I'm like, I guess that is more of an apt metaphor. They're just like, maybe. Oh, yes, I want this, like, innocent, untouched thing. Like.
Yeah.
But also, know. like, what's the difference? I just don't know. I don't know what the difference is. Other than that, it's just, like, something that they've gotten in their head is, like, being cool.
Right, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, it feels like it's just one of those things where they heard, like, that's a thing that you should do, and they were like, yes.
Right, this is edgy, this is
mysterious cool. And cool.
Yeah, because they don't really have a good reason for it, but they're just like, yes, this is a thing that we do.
Yeah. God, they're just so dumb.
They're... It's so embarrassing. Like, they're so cringe.
They really, really are.
So how did you feel about Stu ultimately becoming a werewolf and it, like, you know, their relationship with him after that?
I mean, obviously the Stu becoming a werewolf was a big surprise for all of the vampires. But I do like that they like Stu enough that they're willing to overcome their hatred of the werewolves.
Like, once well, we opened still... the windows, aired the smell out, like...
Yeah. They're like, well, I guess we can be friends now because we really like Stu and he's a werewolf.
For every ounce of hatred they have towards Nick, that's how much they love Stu. They're just like, yes, no, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, there's something about that I really love, that he's just, like, this awkward IT guy, and they're just, like, obsessed with him. Like, he really is the Bella Swan of, like,
he is. The movie. Yeah, everybody is so obsessed with him. Like, the werewolves are, the vampires are.
Right.
Of course, just, like, he's in so the Twilight cool. movies, she eventually becomes a vampire.
Right.
And she also wants that. Like, that was a personal choice that she begged for right. like, so long.
Yes. But it just, I don't know, it's just very funny that he's just like, yeah, hi, I'm Stu. I'm here to help you set up your computer. And they're like, oh, look at this man. He's so amazing. Look at his red cheeks. Look at his ability to show us things on the computer. Look at him teaching us how to use the TV. Like, it's not just static anymore. There's actual channels.
I know, they're so interested in these very basic things, and it's like, okay, but couldn't have Jackie have shown you how to use a TV at some point?
Right, like...
Like, it's not that hard. Like, sure, maybe Stu is showing you how to, like, do some coding or something, which would be a little more complicated, but using the TV is pretty basic.
Also, it's just, it's one of those things that, like... The way that the movie handles the vampires really plays into the idea of, like, people as they get older just, like, do not keep up with the times and, like, the technology and stuff. Like, vampires are, like, the ultimate boomers. Because they just, like, are like, we just don't know how to do it. Like, we just...
Yeah.
They can't be bothered, and like they think they're so cool, and then they're like, oh yeah, but not that. Like, also their outfits, man, like they're like, yeah, we look cool. Like, I'm like, you
really don't look cool.
Sometimes we get our clothes from Victims, which means sometimes, like, you know, whatever, if we see like you're eating someone, you're like, oh, like, cool pants. Just like,
Okay, but there is an episode of Supernatural where the vampires use everything and so take the clothes and stuff from.
Yes, and I judge them too.
Yeah, but that's also judge those they're vampires. Doing that because they're hippie vampires, not because they just think it looks cool. Like, these vampires don't care about that. They just are like, oh, pants.
Right. They're like, hey, this guy is wearing these really cool, like, camo pants with the baggy pockets. So, like, of course we're going to take those. And I'm like,
right.
Why are you stealing this man's cargo pants? Like, that's just not a look for you, babe.
Right.
Embarrassing. They're so embarrassing.
They're so embarrassing.
Ugh.
Well, is there anything else about this movie you feel like we need to talk about?
No. Again, I mean, this, like, there's some stuff about this movie that I'm like, oh, that's, you know, whatever. But, like, it's not, like, a wildly inherently queer movie. It's just got a lot of stuff that I feel like sets up for our discussion of the show next week,
mm-hmm.
which is a wildly inherently queer show that I'm very, mm-hmm. very excited to talk about. And honestly, one of like my favorite things that represents vampires, especially like modern vampires. So I'm really excited to get to it.
Yeah, that'll be... I'm working my way through watching it right now. It's torture. but I'm sure our conversation about it will be very, very fun. And we might have yes. a special guest joining us for that conversation. So
yes, I'm very excited to chat with you about it. If anything, what people should take away from this conversation is that, like, this should give you an idea of the kind of things that we will and won't be talking about in the future. The cringiest of things probably aren't as likely to make it onto our list. Also, apparently, I owe one to Nell, so
yeah,
she's eventually gonna find something I have to watch
yeah.
to make it up to her.
Yes, you will.
I feel like that's actually kind of concerning to me because I'm more easily pleased with the things that we watch. Like, I'm less bothered by things, but as long as it doesn't have sharks in it, like, I'm sure I can make it happen.
I promise I won't subject you to sharks.
Yeah, like, no Jaws or anything like that. We should no. be fine.
Well, Jaws isn't particularly queer, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, fortunately for me, I'm not missing out then, because I'm definitely right. not going to be watching it. Like, I don't care how fake and mechanical that shark looks, it will not be happening. Anyway, okay, all right, more vampires right. to come.
Yeah.
We will talk to you guys later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Totally Normal About That is a podcast hosted and produced by Lucia and Mel. Are you feeling totally normal about something we talked about today? Is there a piece of media you feel totally normal about? We want to hear about it. You can find us on Twitter at @totallynormalat, or you can email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying this episode, please leave us a rating and review on